Thank you. An individual wrote an article about the characteristics of the human race. He pointed out that human beings are very sociable people. A common activity is to be in the company of others, seeking compatibility and friendship. There is an innate desire to fit in, to belong to something, or perhaps it's simply our need for fulfillment and satisfaction. Now, the author also noticed that people come together for more defined purposes, one with a particular intent. They join clubs and organizations that share a mutual interest. Now, it could be a discussion of art or ancient history. It could perhaps be a book study group or the reading of poetry. Whatever the reason, it is understood that coming together with those of a like mind provides clarification that goes way beyond what might be attained by an individual. And in the process, everyone in that group benefits. Now, I believe that this is true of all aspects of life. Sometimes our interests are areas that are not so easily defined. You know, the ones that involve reflection, contemplation, a little deeper thinking. For instance, I believe that at some point in time, an individual here or there is willing to go just a little bit deeper for understanding, asking those difficult questions about life itself, especially as it relates to them. Now, we call these people thinking individuals, identifying a willingness to go beyond that usual practice and teaching. And is their method of learning? They seek out others to share their questions and all of their concerns. The desire is to understand what others have discovered, what works for them, and what doesn't. But it also gives us an opportunity to share our own revelations. Now, I've also noticed that many times our need to know also includes discovering just who we are, to find identity that goes beyond the obvious, beyond what appears to be. And so at that time, we find us sitting in groups discussing philosophy, psychology, values, and beliefs. Now, we are all here this morning because we share a common interest, and we found others of a like mind. When I look at each one of you, I see a thinking individual, that one who is willing to go deeper for clarity and meaning. Now, in all of our searching, in all of our seeking, we find us going beyond and behind established customs and traditions. You see, we actually want to know what put it all in place. If there is a place of origin, we want to know where it is and where we may find it. When we look beyond and behind the obvious, we find us contemplating the existence of a creator, of a god or a deity, call it what we want. We're looking for a source. Now, there are many religious organizations out there for us to consider. Each one is very eager to share its theosophy, its theology, its understanding, its reasoning, and conclusions, all concerning God, trying to reach our religious understanding. And so we are all invited to enter in, to study, and to learn. And as we do so, we learn to become selective, seeking the ones that are compatible with where we are in consciousness. We're still longing to be among those who share our perspective and our understanding. we who are gathered on the spiritual path, we have come for the express purpose of the attainment of spiritual realization. There really is no other reason for us to be here. Yes, it is true that we want to know about God, but we also want to know Him in a personal way. We want to have the experience of being in His company, of being in His presence. We are no longer satisfied to consider God as a point of discussion or theory only. But let us remember, knowing about God is but one thing. If we do not know our relationship to God, we're never going to learn about life, and most importantly, the part that we play in the scheme of things. So we begin right where we are, gathering together with those of a like mind, with those who share our desire to know and to learn, to discuss and study about us, about God, and about life. Now we may begin our study by reading those books of our founders and those other metaphysical authors. Dr. Irvin Gregg, an early divine scientist from Denver, he told us this: the most important thing in life should be to give ourselves to the grand nature of things and forget all else. Put God first and work from that basis. Well, you know, I thought about that. And to me, to put God first would be the way to attain spiritual realization. I believe that to reason in this way is to lift our understanding above the individual to the universal, from the personal to the impersonal. And to me, the grand nature of things, well, it speaks to all of us. It does not discriminate. It is offered to all of those who are willing to read and study and are able to receive it. To think beyond the personal allows us to step outside ourselves and then view life from the greater height of spiritual reality. Now, this is just my take on those little words that Dr. Gregg had to say. But yes, this is what I would share in a gathering of those of a like mind. Now, I do encourage all of you to study the statements of our founders and those metaphysical authors, taking time to reflect and contemplate in a personal way. In the process, you will gain your own conclusions, those that are compatible with where you are in consciousness. Now let us remember, our consciousness is the only one we have to work with. So let us continue our study of books, yes, including those of our founders, those in our bookstore, especially those of Joel Goldsmith, Lillian DeWaters, and Emma Curtis Hopkins. There will be much for you to discuss, ponder, and consider either personally or with a group. Now, if our original intent and goal is to gather together on the spiritual path simply to attain spiritual realization, then at first we must understand that yes, it's possible for us to do so. If it's not within our capacity to do so, thinking that we have to wait to get to heaven first, then why would we even attempt it? It is true that these various authors, they point us in this direction. But then we ask exactly, where did they get their information? And how did they reach their conclusions? Well, we could reason that they're just like us, and that in their earlier learning, they may have turned to those books and discussion. But they also understood the need to practice what it is that they had learned. And so when they did this, they discovered truth. they discovered that place of inner being. And really, it is only there that the true revelation is given. And so it is with all of us. Now, in our early stage of learning, we may need a little bit of encouragement, a little assurance that, yes, what we desire may actually be ours. So, in our desire to learn about God, we find us back in the New Testament, reading exactly what Jesus had to say. He told us that God is spirit, must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And then he told us about that kingdom, and he called it an invisible realm of existence, but located it in each one of us. Now, we reason that in order to find anything, there must be a way to find it. If God is spirit, and must be acknowledged in that way, then the way, it must be a spiritual one. Now, we notice that when we refer to a way or to a journey, we also talk about a path. This church, it offers a way of life, one that bases its teachings on the principle of the omnipresence of God. Our spiritual lessons reveal that, yes, we are of God, and yes, there is none else. We find us sitting in these seats this morning. This means that we have discovered the path, the one that allows that inner revelation to come forth in our realization. But now the challenge is for us is to somehow stay on the path until fuller realization is ours. And then, having achieved it, cherish it above all else. Now to me, cherishing it above all else means that we never truly want to leave the path. No detours, no diversions, which explains the need for constant encouragement and assurance. And in our need for encouragement and assurance, we now find us in the Old Testament. David encouraged us to lift our eyes on high and behold only him. That is, to place our attention and to focus on God to the exclusion of all else. This is very similar to Dr. Gregg's suggestion that we put God first and forget all else. And then there is the encouragement that's given to us by the prophets. Joshua speaks of his experience in this way. He tells us that he had a conversation with the Lord, and the Lord said unto him, I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. But do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. Be strong and be of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now, these passages from Joshua, I consider them to be a continuous assurance of the omnipresence of God, of truth. But they also come with a caution to do according to the law, to remain in the realization of the truth, with that promise that as long as we abide in the truth, neither turning to the right nor to the left, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, in order to live under the shadow of this eternal protection, we have a twofold part to play. We are called upon to be strong and very courageous, and to abide confidently in the truth. In fact, several times in the Joshua story, we are told to be strong and of good courage, and we wonder why the need for repetition. It is as if there exists a great possibility of weakness and doubt. Well, God may have noticed that time and time again, we fall short of the high calling. Time and time again, we have proven to be weak and of little courage. Oh yes, we say that we have studied and oh yes, we have discussed, definitely discussed. And in the process, we did learn about truth. Remember, we came together with others of like mind with the purpose of attaining spiritual realization. We read about the omnipresence of God, that He will never leave us. And you know, each one of us absolutely believe that this is so. But then life happens. Something totally unexpected comes to our life and knocks us off of our feet. And our world as we know it, it falls apart. We find us in a different state of consciousness, one that is now focused on the problem, the one that took us off of that path and away from the kingdom. We may continue to argue that we strive to be upright and good in our humanhood. We try to be a good person, living by that command to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. And all of this may be so. And while we do encourage it, oh yes, we do, we also understand that in trying to be a good human being, our focus is given to the human being. And we are no longer obeying Dr. Gregg's admonition to forget everything else, to put God first and work from that basis. Now, when we do this, when we work from that foundation, we too may hear those wonderful words and promises. Be not afraid. I am with you. I can handle this. Stand back and watch me do my work. And now it is time for us to play our part. Remember what it is? Our part is to be strong and courageous and to abide confidently in the truth that God is, and beside Him there is none else. Well, we may agree that all of this sounds good, and yes, obviously this is how it works. But another part of us may ask, but what about the problem? Well, who named it a problem in the first place? Life brings us many things, many opposites, and we are not meant to either like or dislike them. We are merely asked to allow the experience. The point is that everything has its action and its reaction. Everything has its cause and its result. Everything comes and everything goes. The rhythm of life allows for the ebb and the flow, for the in and the out. The pendulum, it swings one way only to correct itself and go back the other way. This is the nature of the universe. It is the movement that allows for the experience. So let us not define it, name it, or deny it. The fine tune of vibration allows for movement that never stands still. And it does not ask for our opinion or even for our approval. It just does what it does. And when we place us in the stream of eternal life, we are not bothered so much by its movement one way or another. We simply allow its experience. Now, a certainty of life is that whatever it brings us in an outer way is but the arm of flesh. But us, we have the assurance that as long as we abide in truth, that nothing shall come nigh our dwelling place to do us harm. But we have a part to play. Be strong and courageous. Let us not give power where it does not belong. Remember, God is, and that's it. By now we know that keeping our eyes on high and putting God first, it requires dedication, commitment, and discipline. Now I personally believe, I have discovered actually, that we're not always up to the task. Humanhood, it demands our attention, and its frailty leads to the appearance of weakness and a lack of courage. It demonstrates that anything and everything can happen to physical man, and it does. But please, let us not give ourselves over to the human faculty with its ability to wander all over the place. We also know that the human self has its season, and it too shall pass away. We do not bear witness to eternal life through the limited vision of the human eye. We ask the question, who is in charge? Is it the one of flesh, or is it the one of spirit? Well, by now we all know the answer. You see, we have not studied, learned, and practiced without gaining some degree of spiritual realization. Now, it might not be quite enough to keep us on the path all of the time, but we do get glimpses that then become our foundation. Our challenge is to stay firmly on that foundation. We realize how foolish it is for us to be concerned with all those human thoughts at a time when we should be listening, seeking, and hearing only the thoughts of God. And I say this because we are told, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We know what we expect and hope of God, but too often we do not fully realize that we have a responsibility in bringing the activity of God into our experience. We forget we had a part to play. But after today's lesson, we cannot say that we do not know what it is. Be strong and of a good courage, and abide in truth. It really is utterly useless to look for the things of spirit to just come into our experience, except in the proportion that we obey the command to keep our mind stayed on thee. And we do so by acknowledging him in all of our ways. Where those words, be strong and of a good courage, come into play. Each requires something of us. And of course, that's the challenge. These are invisible qualities that indicate valor, bravery, and audacity, certainly not for the faint of heart. But Dr. Irvin Gregg, he did not make a big production out of it. He kept it simple. Remember, the most important thing in life should be to give ourselves to the grand nature of things and forget everything else. Put God first and work from that basis. So let us us be strong in our conviction to do so. Step out with courage and certainty that, oh yes, we are on the path. And in a quiet moment, revelation is given to the soul of man. It is then that spiritual reality is our realization, and we are not the same. And that was our intent and purpose in the first place of gathering together. This morning we have the opportunity to know us in that way. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we begin our time of meditation, we relax our bodies and we close our eyes. We still our minds and we quiet those thoughts. We find us in a place of serenity, a sense of peace. It fills our being. There's nothing to disturb us or concern us. God is here. In the quiet time, we are aware of life in all of its glory, abundance, joy, harmony, and love. The inner voice urges us to be strong, of a good courage, because I am here. It is I who does the work. Let us rest in this moment and feel his presence. We were not sent into this world to fend for ourselves. There is a plan and a purpose to life, and each of us has a part to play. So let us go often to the sanctuary of inner being, be still and listen beyond the words and thoughts. The assurance is given. I go before you. Give no thought. I know what to do. So let us trust and obey, for there is no other way. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.